Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's do this!
And now, Chuck and Winkler. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people!
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Good morning, everybody. That's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler. 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 on the AM dial. One thing we got to do a better job of, Freems, admittedly,
yeah,
is we do the show, like yesterday, we do the show, and then I sit down at my desk, and I go on Twitter, and I'm looking at stuff, and I see a bunch of pictures of Dez Bryant. Whether or not he caught that ball 3 years ago. And it was exactly 3 years ago yesterday. So I always find out things that happened like years before that would be nice things to talk about after we're off the air.
You mean go back in time?
Yeah, something like that. Or like Bart Starr's birthday, I think, was this week. I didn't realize that until 10:15.
Were we going to send him a cake?
Well, I'd like to talk about him.
Oh.
I'd like to wish him a happy birthday.
Well, you know, that's I'm good with that. You know, as far as that Dez Bryant catch, the only thing about that catch, it led us into the 2014 NFC Championship game against Seattle.
And there's our first reference of that for the day.
Yeah, or the non-catch. So, if not for that, we wouldn't have that historic collapse.
So, you would have rather Dez did catch it and the Packers lose that game.
No.
Looking back.
I'd rather
would have had the McCarthy play calling shakeup, right?
You know what? That led to a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you know, if they lose the Bears or they lose the Cowboy game, maybe there still is a shakeup.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. Yeah, they one way or another, I think maybe McCarthy was gonna make some moves that year because there were other problems it seemed like earlier in the season. Yeah.
But
Yesterday. All you have to do is see for me, all I have to do is when I get that on Facebook, which I heard Facebook is making some changes.
I don't know what you're talking
about. Yeah, Facebook is making some. I guess I was hearing that on the national news that Facebook is making changes on how the news feed is going to be and how they're going to present things and all that.
They do that like once a week.
I don't. Yeah. To me, it sounds like it's nothing different than what they're doing. I don't know. I listened to a news story and it just sounded like they were drawing attention to themselves for no reason.
They change their feed.
Yeah.
And then everyone complains and then you get used to it.
So I don't know what the changes are. But anyway, I usually, you know, what I do like on Facebook where it says, oh, 1 year ago today you posted this, or 5 years ago today you posted this.
Yeah, I like
sometimes
that too.
Sometimes it's good and sometimes it's sad because you're like, oh, man, I was actually doing that on that night and tonight I'm not doing anything.
Well, and then I also get to see, because I jumped on Facebook in 2005. I was in college.
2005.
So I've had it for 12, 13 years.
Was it even around in 2005?
Yeah, when Facebook came out, it was limited to whatever school Zuckerberg went to, I forget. Harvard, maybe?
2005? You don't mean 2007?
No, 5.
2005? What, were you like the only one on there?
Yeah, well, it was out for colleges. You had to have a college email address to get on it.
Okay.
So I was able to get on it because I was in college, and then eventually Zuckerberg realized that this was a very popular thing, and then he expanded it to real people instead of just college people.
You know, Facebook is responsible for a lot of things.
Good and bad.
Good and bad. Teenagers are fighting in schools. It's causing some problems for administrators out there and teachers.
Yep.
Good in that, I mean, like there's people who I went to high school with and I haven't seen in years. And you get to see what they're doing. I mean, there's people I'd never thought I'd ever hear from or see ever again. Ever. And you know, over the years, they've just popped up on Facebook. And it's like, oh, man, that's what that person looks like. That's what they're doing these days. That's pretty cool.
Facebook's also a problem when it comes to spreading false information. This was shared on our Facebook page yesterday. I saw it. It was a picture of the Seattle Seahawks in their locker room, and one of the Seahawks had an American flag in his. He was holding it, and it was on fire, and he was like cheering it. And then the rest of the Seahawk team was around him, and Pete Carroll's like, "Yeah, yeah," like he looks like he's at a craps table waiting, you know, for Lucky Twos or whatever it's called. And it was clearly photoshopped, but some people see that and they don't realize it's photoshopped. So then they spread it around as if the Seattle Seahawks are in their locker room burning a flag, cheering about it. And that's the kind of stuff that Facebook's bad for.
If you had to have one, keep one, eliminate one, Facebook or Twitter, I think you'd keep Twitter and eliminate Facebook. If the world came to you and said, the government said, Bart, we're only allowing one social media per person in this country. What do you want? You got to take away one.
Well, I would move because that's a violation of freedom of speech if the government is going to decide how many social medias we could have. That's a little too much. So I would move to a different country. But to answer your question...
Just like the same people were going to move to a different country if Trump was named president.
To answer your question, I would... I like Twitter. I'm on Twitter more.
Yeah, I would probably take Twitter too. I like Facebook, but Twitter for more for information, not putting stuff out there. I like it more for reading what everybody's got to say.
I like Twitter. I don't know, something with Twitter. I feel like I can post 20 times on Twitter and it's fine, but I probably won't post 20 times on Facebook in a year. I feel it's some people use Facebook like Twitter with constant updates, and it just seems weird. I think each thing's got its own, you know, purpose. Twitter, news, information, quick thoughts, conversation. Facebook is for like sharing life events and reconnecting and a little bit of news. And then Instagram's just for fun pictures.
Like today, was supposed to go to see REO Speedwagon in northern Wisconsin tonight. They're starting their winter tour in Boulder. Found out that Kevin Cronin's having emergency surgery, and a big part of his first part of his tour is canceled. So found out today, I heard it was canceled, went on there, found out, boom, boom, boom. You look around and he's having surgery. So no concert for me tonight.
You found that out on Facebook?
I found that out on, initially Shannon was calling up there trying to get us a hotel. And then while she's trying to get us a hotel, they told her the concert for tomorrow night is canceled out. So then I'm like, why is it canceled? I went on Twitter and found out that he was having surgery.
I actually saw it yesterday, too, on Facebook.
Oh, you did? Okay.
For some reason, I saw the REO Speedwagon Facebook page share this message. Kevin, thanks you for the well wishes. We all wanted to update you on our concert postponements. Kevin will be back in action. He's the lead singer?
Yeah.
He'll be back in action for all shows scheduled for March and on. For the fans in the cities that were scheduled for Jan and Feb, we're working on getting those rescheduled. Stay tuned for more details.
Yeah. Sounds like they're downplaying the surgery. They're saying how it's routine and all that, but who really knows? They always, even when it's serious, it seems like they downplay things. Oh, don't worry. Things are going to be all right.
So you were going to do that tonight, weren't you?
Yeah, that's what I said. I was heading up there tonight after
and next weekend? Or another weekend?
Oh, I guess in a few weeks that's going to be canceled too, yeah. We're supposed to go to REO and Escanaba on a Friday night. Later on this month.
Well, that sucks.
That's I didn't think about it. I was just thinking it was this.
No, they're
concert.
they're both off the calendar for you.
Wow, yeah.
That's two things that you have to figure out. When you put all your eggs into the REO Speedwagon basket, when they're turning around at age 80, these kind of problems are going to arise.
I guess. Here's the thing. I bought it on StubHub. I bought the tickets on StubHub.
Oh, okay.
So I guess those tickets will be still good. Now, what happens if you get if in a concert where you buy tickets for a particular date and they reschedule for a different date, but you can't go to that date?
I don't know. I think you might be SOL.
That sucks. Why the make good date for the one up in Bowler, which was tonight in March, I can go to. I haven't checked out the make good dates for Escanaba yet.
Yeah, well, that'll keep you busy today. You got something to do.
Well, you know what? I get to see Golden State play tonight here in town. Golden State's in town, and that was one of the reasons why I couldn't go to the game tonight. Because now I'm not going. I'm just going to watch the game on TV. You guys are going and covering the game, but I am looking forward to the Bucks hosting Golden State. You know, the Warriors are in town. Nobody will make a big deal about the Warriors, the nickname the Warriors, as long as it's Golden State, of course. God forbid Marquette had to change their name, the Marquette Warriors, but nobody ever complains about the Golden State Warriors.
Well, the Marquette Warriors were hosting the Golden State Warriors last night.
Yeah.
They got into town and practiced at the Al McGuire Center, and I don't know how people know. I don't know how people find out about that, but I went to the practice last night, and there was a bunch of like fans, crowd of people outside looking for autographs. And then, as I've told you 5 million times, my brother works for Golden State in PR. So I gave him a ride to the hotel they're staying at last night. It's not the Pfister, it's a different one. Normally, athletes stay at the Pfister, they're staying at a different one. And so I took him to the hotel, and there were throngs of people there too. I don't know how they find out about this.
Now, are they staying at a different hotel because they're a traveling rock band, kind of?
No, I don't think it's that. I don't think it's that.
You know what I'm saying? They're their own special deal. Even more so than the Cleveland Cavaliers these days.
Yeah, you're right. Especially in Milwaukee, because they only come here once. We see LeBron twice.
Yeah.
No, I just think that I don't know if I think they might have got tired of the Pfister.
Okay. Too many ghosts?
No, it's just an old hotel.
They used to always stay at the Hyatt. Teams would stay at the Hyatt and then walk across the street to the game.
Yeah.
The old arena and then later the Bradley Center. But I don't think they stay at the Hyatt anymore.
I think a lot of teams stay at the Pfister.
Yeah.
Baseball teams stay there, right?
A lot of baseball teams have been staying there forever.
Yep.
Yeah, forever the baseball teams have been staying at the Pfister. But, you know, the Hyatt, they would stay at the Hyatt that one year Charles Barkley got in trouble because he got into it was right down, you know, over Rosie's Waterworks. He threw a guy through the door at Rosie's back in the 80s.
On Water Street?
Yeah, on Water Street. You know Rosie's?
Yeah.
Yeah, Charles Barkley. Back in his playing days, mid-80s, fan was getting his face, threw him right through the door, right out on the street.
I can't believe it. I can't believe that. I don't know how they found out where these guys are.
All right. I don't know either. Maybe social media?
I don't know.
And it all gets out there.
I didn't tell anyone. I didn't leak it.
So, I mean, are they just standing out in front trying to get autographs, these people?
Yeah, there were like 30 people. Well, I guess if you drive by the Al McGuire Center last night, there's three giant coach buses.
Okay. I mean, these guys aren't staying at the Golden Key Motel. Are they in a Highway 100?
No, they're staying at a nice hotel.
Okay.
So figure it out from there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ruin it.
Well, no, of course. Don't say it. No, it's their deal.
But when I was driving home, or I took my brother back to the hotel. We went out for wings after practice, and just Steph Curry's chilling there in the lobby. You could see him in the restaurant.
And nobody coming around him and bothering him?
No, just sitting there.
Oh.
So if you're like in downtown Milwaukee, now I gave it away.
Well, of course, you know they're downtown.
So if you're walking around and then you'd look to your right.
There's many hotels down there.
You know, you're not expecting anything. You look to your right. Is that Steph Curry just sitting there? Weird. Just keep walking with your day.
Yeah. You know, you go downtown during the, you know, the teams are in town. I mean, these guys would often go to the mall down there. That mall's closed now, but they would go to the mall or they walk around down there. Anytime you see tall guys, NBA players usually. NBA players. Steph's about, what, 6'2"?
6'3"? Yeah, a little taller than me.
6'2", 6'3".
As far as taller than me, I talked to Zaza last night, which we'll hear around 7'08", 7'09", 7'10". And There's a picture of me interviewing Zaza. He's a legitimate foot taller than
me. Yeah, I was going to say, were you on a ladder?
Yeah. Because I'm 5'10".
Yeah.
5'11", if I'm wearing a nice pair of boots. Zaza's at least 6'11".
Yeah.
And we talked about Giannis because he played with Giannis.
I missed him. I liked him when he was here.
I liked him too. We talked about Jason Kidd. We talked about if the regular season sucks for him, he's bored.
Did you ask about his time here? Because they shouldn't have let him go. They shouldn't have let him walk. They should have kept him. We found out later that they needed him.
Yeah, he had two stints here. One when he was like 20.
The first stint, no. The second one, we could have used him.
The second one was when they had those bright red Christmas jerseys.
Well, the second one is
Brandon Jennings, when Giannis was starting.
When they lost to the Bulls.
Yep.
In that series.
I asked him what he does when he comes back to Milwaukee. I said, hey, you know, you here a couple of years, and he basically said, well, I mean, I catch up on sleep.
Yeah.
There's not like a spot Zaza goes to.
No.
I don't know how many people he still stays in touch with here.
Some of these guys, when they come here.
Like Kevon Looney, who's from here, is with the Warriors. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know. I'm sure he's still out partying. You know, these guys come home uh-huh. for a night. Yeah. This is the one night Kevon Looney's able to be home all season. I'm sure he had a fun time.
Well,
last
and all
night.
His friends and all that probably come down, and guys he grew up with, and relatives and all that come down to the hotel. But most of these guys, if they play, bounce around from team, and Zaza's been with a couple of different teams, they bounce around. So it's like, you know, going back to Milwaukee, when did you guys play? I played her twice. No big deal.
Right.
You know, he might know some people still in town, but. To some of these guys, it's just a business. It's just a business stop.
He'll know a lot of the workers at the Bradley Center, but the mm-hmm. team's vastly yeah. different than yeah. when he was last
yeah.
here.
So no emotional Bucks, difference playing for the Bucks.
Bucks Warriors tonight. We'll hear from Zaza around 7:08 this morning. The chance I had to talk with him last night, and thick European accent, but very distinguishable. It's easy to hear what he's saying, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've always seen him. He's always been, I mean, he's one of the nicer guys in the last 10. I mean, they're all pretty
very friendly. Nice. Zaza's yeah, very nice.
They're all pretty friendly. The Bucks players have all you know, generally have had good guys come through. Same with the Brewers. Good guys coming through that locker room. And he's always, even when things were bad, the guy was always a stand-up guy.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries, 105.7 FM, The Fan. So we'll have that just after 7 o'clock. Michael Cohen will join us around 8:20 this morning for the latest on the Packers. Lots to look ahead to. Chuck and Winkler on The Fan. Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan. That's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler. We are live inside the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. We'll hear from Pete Doherty as well this morning. PackersNews.com. Pete's been, of all the guys that we like to kind of check in with at PackersNews.com, maybe the most skeptical of some of the GM structure changes and some of the defensive coordinator-type changes. So we'll talk to Pete about that here in about 10 minutes. You know, I was listening to the Big Show yesterday, and this is not, I'm not taking a shot at anyone.
Well, even if you are, people take enough shots at you and I.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I don't know if you heard the Tim and Tausch in the morning post-game or morning show or whatever they call it.
They have a podcast.
Podcast, I don't know. Yeah, I was listening to it yesterday.
Were they taking shots at us?
Oh, of course.
Oh, they were?
Oh, of course.
Like what?
Well, taking shots at you for being so defensive of why they're doing this, taking shots at me because I'm claiming that how Taus he was hired here as an intern, and you know that I'm taking credit. Well, I was the guy who gave him a start here, so and you know that whole thing. So I mean, if they want to do that, that's fine. Yeah, I don't. That doesn't
Tim matter. Allen and Baby Taus have a podcast.
Yeah, they spent half of it bashing like us, and it's pretty. They swear and all that on there.
They call it Tim and Taus in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
That's confusing. That's confusing.
Yeah. So they took shots because you were complaining about it and that.
I complained about it because it's confusing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what that's the exact reason why. Well, they're complaining about it. I don't blame you for complaining about it, I'm telling you. I'm just saying that's what they were doing.
Anyway, they can go to 105.7fmthefan.com. It's their new podcast. Tim and Tausch
in the morning.
In the morning.
They don't even tape that in the morning. Those guys aren't even up this early.
No, God no. So they you can check that out. And a bunch of different on-demand and podcasts we have online on our app and 1057fmthefan.com. But I wanted to mention what I didn't want to take. I'm not taking a shot at the big show, but Sparky, man, just he's very worried about these meetings that Mark Murphy's claiming that he's going to have. Every day that I've tuned in, I either he's talking about it for 4 hours or I catch it every time he brings it up. Big show 2-6 today. Mark Murphy said that they're going to have these weekly meetings with McCarthy and Russ Ball and Gutekunst. And if you take Murphy at his word, yeah, okay, I guess they're going to have a weekly meeting, and that would be annoying. Mike McCarthy's got to go in there, say, here's the plays I chose, blah, blah, blah. That's not, I don't believe that's going to happen. I don't honestly think these four guys are going to meet every week and talk about the game plan.
I don't, you know, to me, whether they do it or not, who cares? Who cares? If they want to meet every week, I don't, whether they do it or not, does it really affect anything? It doesn't matter. I mean, like, Murphy's going to change the game plan.
No, what would affect it?
Nobody likes the game plan that McCarthy does anyway.
Well, if McCarthy goes in there and then starts talking, and then Murphy's like, "Hey, close game the other day. The board was telling me that we should," you know, if it gets to be like that, that would be bad. But I just flat out don't think there's going to be any meetings. I just think that this whole restructure is just to open the lines of communication because it got really bad. Now, Mark Murphy probably should have stepped in earlier. And there may be somewhat of an overcorrection here. I don't like that he hired a GM that doesn't have the ability to hire and fire someone, but as far as a coach, but I don't think the structure is going to last long. I think Mike McCarthy's got all the power with this team, and if it works, if they win the Super Bowl, well, then they're going to keep this. If it doesn't work, well, then they're going to take that power away from McCarthy, I think.
Well, you know,
there's not going to be a weekly 2 o'clock Tuesday meeting.
Who knows?
I don't see that.
I don't know. We don't know if it is or not, but you know what? Exactly. Whether they have these meetings, what's Pfeiffer's? See, I never call him Sparky. I can't call a 40-year-old man Sparky. Sorry. If he was 25, maybe. You know, like Gilligan?
I call him Steve.
I call him Pfeiffer. I call him Fife. Can't call a 40-year-old man Sparky. Jeez. What 40-year-old guy wants to be called Sparky? Honestly, you know, might as well call him Gilligan.
What's wrong with Sparky? That's his nickname. That's what people know him as.
I have a problem calling a 40-year-old man Sparky, but anyway.
Sparky.
Pfeiffer, what is his deal with these meetings? What's his problem with it? Does he not like him? Is he worried there's going to be meddling? What is it?
Well, yeah, if there's going to be meetings, yeah, he's worried that Russ Ball's going to have a say in the game plan. Mm-hmm. That Russ Ball is going to tell Gutekunst, "No, we're not doing that." That everyone's going to cross the streams on their jobs. That Mark Murphy's going to tell McCarthy what to do.
Oh, he's not seriously worried about that, is he?
When I turn on the big show, I've heard him talk about this every week.
It's being a little bit dramatic.
I just don't think there's going to be meetings.
I don't. You know what? Honestly, if there's meetings or not, it doesn't matter. I mean, does it really? What matters is what happens on Sunday, what happens with McCarthy, with these guys going out there and getting some players on the field who can actually play. Whether they have a 2 o'clock meeting on Thursday or Friday before the game, I could care less.
That's one of his concerns, too, that McCarthy might say, "Well, I want this guy," and Gutekunst might be good with it, but then Russ Ball's in on this meeting, and he might say no, and then you've got this power structure and struggle.
Well, that, who knows? It's just a convenient excuse, I think. If things go bad, people will be pointing to the structure. Just calling the shots. But at this point, hey, I'm not worried about it. I mean, if this is the way they're going to run things right now, I mean, how about when McCarthy restructured the play calling duties a couple of years ago, that I was like a little bit concerned about. I was like, McCarthy's best... The best thing he brings to the table is calling plays. Why would he get away from doing that? And we found out that didn't work. So is that what the concern is? Maybe they're making change, and from making a change in the past when it didn't work, that maybe they feel the same thing here?
Do we know what Joe Philbin's doing, by the way, yet?
No. No, we don't. Well, offensive coordinator. Is it going to be like, I was telling Bill Michaels on the huddle last night, back when Joe Philbin was the offensive coordinator, it seemed like he had more say in the offense and more respect and more of the ear of Coach McCarthy than the guys after him had.
Oh, yeah. Clements had no respect. Edgar Bennett, he did. I don't know what Edgar Bennett did or what McCarthy trusted in Edgar Bennett.
Yeah, but I know with Philbin, he had a great deal of respect for Philbin, an older guy, and with his knowledge. And Philbin obviously parlayed this into getting a head coaching job. They thought he was head coaching material. It didn't work out in Miami. But we'll see what the structure's like when he gets back here.
I still have that gut feeling that they don't name a true offensive coordinator, that McCarthy will technically also be the offensive coordinator, and Philbin will be named as an assistant head coach.
But didn't they name this already?
I don't know if they officially did.
But they did.
Honestly, I don't know.
Yeah.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries.
Oh, the drama of the Packers, as the Packers turn.
Pete Doherty will join us in just a few moments. It's Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Good morning. Freeman's in the Ledge, 105.7 FM, The Fan. That's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler. We're brought to you by Adam Deputy. If you're looking to buy a home, whether it's your first or last, contact Adam Deputy online, adamdeputy.com. GSF Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender. As we mentioned, so many moves with the Green Bay Packers. From the front office to both offense and defense, the coordinators changing, positional coaches being hired left and right. And we check in with our friends at PackerNews.com, and, you know, they give a report of what's going on. But one of the columnists who we'll talk to right now, Pete Doherty. Pete, a little more skeptical than maybe some of the other guys?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it. I mean, it doesn't mean it can't work. I get that Murphy was in a tough spot with, he had some valuable, you know, employees that he really liked, you know, speaking about McCarthy and Ball. And so he wanted to make sure he kept them. And so this seems at least to have been a kind of compromise to make sure to keep everybody on board. But, I'm skeptical that it could work long term. It's just, as Bob Harlan was saying there, you know, to have that clear line of authority where one guy is responsible for football and then he hires and fires the coach. That clear line is just for accountability. It's really good. And now you've got three people reporting to Mark Murphy, and there's always the potential for, you know, people jockeying for position, for stating their case, you know, whereas when you had the football guy running things and just one GM running things, everybody reported to him and what he says went. So I think it just opens up a can of worms. But, it doesn't mean it can't work because it's worked at other places.
Pete, if it doesn't work, I'm hopeful that I'm willing to give it a shot, but if it doesn't work with Mark Murphy having the fire to, or having the ability to hire and fire McCarthy, I would think if it doesn't work, we'll know quickly, and maybe Mike McCarthy's job would be on the line. How long of a leash do you think Mark Murphy is going to give his own self in the structure that he set up?
I don't know, because he's kind of a wild card here, and maybe part of it would be, you know, let's say McCarthy's not here in a year or two, then maybe he'd feel more comfortable elevating Gutekunst, or if things go well for several years and, Gutekunst is doing a good job, then maybe he'd feel better about, you know, ceding all the authority to him. On the other hand, if it goes well, maybe he'll think this is working great, we should keep doing it the way we're doing it. I could see it going well, you know, early on, because everybody will be getting along and it's new. But, you know, it's such a tough business, and you lose, you know, two or three games in a row and the heat starts coming on, and, you know, if you have a 7-9 or 8-8 season, you know, then the recriminations get going, you know, start, and you have three different guys, you know, going to Murphy and saying it's, you know, this is the problem, that's the problem, instead of having, you know, the GM ahead of all of it. So, you know, I just a couple of years down the road, I could just see this being an issue.
Is Mike McCarthy in Mark Murphy's eyes that high? I mean, Mark Murphy must absolutely love McCarthy, that he's kind of, you know, maybe taken his advice, and, you know, the press conference might have swayed a few things. Mark Murphy, he must love McCarthy.
Sure looks like it. Sure looks like he really thinks highly of him and wants him, and he considers Ball a really important employee, and so he wanted to keep both guys happy, and this was a way to do it by not bringing anybody in to, you know, who leapfrogged him.
Pete Doherty, PackersNews.com, joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. You have all that going on, and then you have the staff building that McCarthy is doing. Mike Pettine, we're learning a lot about him. Seems like he's done well in the past. Is it going to be a case where he can step in and implement his defensive scheme to this group of guys? Or for Mike Pettine's scheme to work, do you think they'll need to go out and find different guys?
Well, it's going to be some of both. I mean, you know, you think of when Capers came in, I mean, Woodson fit perfect into what Capers was doing with that, with the way he used that nickel cornerback. So maybe there's a couple guys on the roster who fit in really well with what Pettine does. They're going to, you know, talent's a problem on that side of the ball, so they need new guys no matter who the coordinator is. They need to find some more talent. So it'll be a little bit of both, and, you know, a test of a coordinator is, yeah, you have your scheme, but you got to be able to adjust it to the talent that you have. I mean, one size doesn't fit all in those things, so you know, we'll see what kind of coordinator he is. McCarthy, he plays that Rex Ryan defense, and, you know, McCarthy knows that, and he hired him, so that must be what he wants to do.
Do you think Pettine was McCarthy's number one choice, or did he want the guy in Chicago, Fangio?
I do not know for a fact. My suspicion is probably the same as yours, in that he wanted Fangio. I also wonder if he wanted Gus Bradley, too. I think there were reports that he wanted to interview him, but then Bradley did the deal with the Chargers. So, but I don't know if you guys think so, but my suspicion is that, you know, Fangio might have been his first choice.
Yeah,
I don't think he wanted to stay in house. I mean, I know he interviewed those guys. Now, if Bradley and Pettine and Fangio were all like taken, I don't know what he would have done. He did give the promotion to Joe Witt, but I think, Pete, more than anything, McCarthy wanted a new voice on that defense.
Yeah, and you know what you mentioned earlier about McCarthy being, you know, possibly on a short leash here. I mean, he needs to have, you know, this is the way he wanted it. He obviously, in his interview with Murphy after the season, you know, he must have made clear some of the issues that had cropped up with Thompson. You know, not going after free agents, things like that. So he got what he wanted. It sounds like he wanted Gutekunst would have been his preferred choice for the personnel guy. So he needs to win, and it would have been awful risky to, you know, hire to promote Perry or Witt or Winston Moss, a guy who's never coordinated before. Maybe he hit big there, but they've never done it before. The much safer move is to go with a guy who's had a true proven track record, and, you know, the three guys that we've talked about all have been successful coordinators in this league.
Pete Doherty, PackersNews.com. We did have a chance, too, to talk to Pete about some of the Hall of Fame stuff regarding Jerry Kramer and Leroy Butler. That is available on our website, 1057fmthefan.com. Click Fan on Demand, presented by John Paul's Buick GMC, Highway 100 in Greenfield. Some bonus content for you as you drive around out there today. And as you drive around, the road's actually not too bad. My driveway, though, is an ice rink. You may have seen that video going around yesterday where a guy gets in his driveway and just slides down the entire thing. I almost had that same situation. The ice was hard to scrape. You can start to solve that problem when you fire up your remote car starter, if you have one of those in your vehicle. If you don't, today's the exact kind of morning why you get one. We told you yesterday, it was 53 degrees. You thought, okay, winter's over. Now it's bitter cold again. These are the kind of mornings you want that remote car starter where you can just fire up your car while you continue to get ready. And then when you jump in, it's nice and warm and toasty on your way to work after a morning of taking a warm shower in your warm bed under a warm roof. Get into a warm vehicle and don't freeze as you travel to work. Don't freeze as you travel home from work. Don't freeze as you're out and about this weekend doing whatever it is you may be doing. They're installing them at Sound Decisions. Sound Decisions in Racine, not only do they install audio systems, so if you need that, that's the place to go. Security systems on your vehicle, that's the place to go. They also sell more remote car starters than anybody else. They've got the leading brands, competitive pricing, and it's a quick installation. It took less than 2 hours for me to get mine done. They've got a waiting area. You watch TV or you bring your computer, do some work. There's a coffee shop nearby. You can go there and just kind of mess around for 90 minutes. It doesn't take that long. If someone drop you off, whatever. Whatever you need, it's very quick, easy in, easy out. They show you how to do it. You press a button, put it on your keychain, and you're done. 262-633-8300, 262-633-8300. If you can't write that down, just remember Sound Decisions in Racine. Put that in on Facebook a little later today, or go to brightpinkmailbox.com. It's their website, brightpinkmailbox.com, brightpinkmailbox.com. It's a long backstory. They used to be known because they had a huge pink mailbox in their front lawn. So that's kind of been a tradition that stays with them. And they had it there for some interesting reasons, and Chris will tell you all about that. Brightpinkmailbox.com when you get in. Sound Decisions in Racine. It's Chuck and Winkler. We'll hear from Zaza Pachulia around 7:08 this morning. More Packers with Michael Cohen coming up 8:20. We're served up by Perkins here on The Fan. Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. That is Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler. Zaza Pachulia, I had the chance to speak with him for a few moments. His thoughts on Jason Kidd as a coach, Giannis as a player, and if the Giannis he sees today, he saw when he played with Giannis 4 years ago. We'll get his answer on that around 7:08. Here this morning, Chuck and Winkler on The Fan. One more chance for you to win the Dave Matthews tickets to the night before the Super Bowl. We had a winner. It's a national contest. So we're a part of a company called Entercom. So there's a ton of different radio stations that make that up all over the United States. But the guy who won yesterday at 7 o'clock was from Milwaukee. So you can win. I mean, the guy won yesterday. So you can win, too. So we'll have that keyword coming up just after 7. So I started a show with you, Frames, talking about the Dez Bryant catch from 3 years and one day ago.
Yeah.
How we need to do a better job of like an on this day sort of thing, right? Or at least knowing, because with Bart Starr's birthday, I didn't talk about it. We didn't talk about it. I didn't know till after the show was done.
And yeah.
Same with this Dez thing. I didn't know it was 3 years ago yesterday.
Well, I think we were okay on the Bart Starr thing. That was fine.
But Bart Starr's my guy.
Yeah, but not knowing Bart Starr's birthday, that was a couple of days ago. I don't think we're going to get any docked any points with our boss because of that.
No. I wanted to talk about it.
Okay.
And last night, or not last night, but yesterday afternoon when I got home.
Look at you. You always want to turn back the clock.
Well, okay. I watched the NFL Network thing on the timeline. It's called The Timeline, and it was the piece they did about the Ice Bowl.
Okay.
And I was off that week. I'm sure you guys talked about it.
Yeah, I did not see that. That was on a Friday night a couple of weeks ago. The NFL Network showed that.
Yeah, Don Meredith's son, Michael Meredith.
Yeah, they had him on the Bill Michaels show.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was good. So he put together, he talked to all these people that played in the game. And when they showed the reunions, they showed a Cowboys reunion, a 50-year reunion, and a Packers 50-year reunion. I started to cry.
Okay, see, I did some stuff on the Ice Bowl that week. You were gone. I was glad that you weren't here because I know how much disrespect you have for history.
And that's a bad assumption.
Because when I talk about history or the 82 Brewers or stuff like that, you just completely just go south.
I don't mind when you talk about history. You talk about it too much. I don't mind when you talk about it. You just talk about
it. I don't know if I do it too much, but history is a part of sports.
I'm trying to talk about Mark Murphy yesterday. You're doing a whole soliloquy on Linde Infante.
But that's the equation, though. The Packer history and how it's come a long way. In a way, it's come a long ways, the Packers. In some ways, they haven't.
Yeah, that's true. But when I was watching, it was, when did they have that reunion? I think in October, maybe? The last time Bart Starr was able to come back up.
October, November. They had it at the...
It was right in the atrium.
Right in the atrium on a Saturday before a Packer game. Might have been before the Baltimore game, but I know they did, a 50th anniversary.
I mean, what is up? You know, this year's been very tumultuous for the Packers, and there's part of me that thinks, well, you know, the more that I cover the team for work, the less of a fan that I... You know, the fan part of me dies a little bit. But, man, I was crying. Like, I was in tears watching these guys get back together. Watching, they showed fans. Fans were able to come to this thing. There's fans in, like, 95 starter jackets.
Yeah.
Standing up, big football guy men. They're in tears. It's 2 o'clock yesterday. I'm on my couch crying.
It was odd because I saw an interview done on a Green Bay station from a woman who lives up there yet. She was a cheerleader from St. Norbert's College, 18, 19, 20 years old. You know, and then to see her, they were showing pictures of her cheerleading on the sideline. And then today she's an old lady. Just was kind of odd.
Well, that's what aging is. Yeah.
I know, but it was just kind of odd to see this, you know, well-shaped woman, you know, back in her 20s. And then, you know, she's barely walking today.
Well, I mean, if you close your eyes, you can.
But either way, but just, I know that 50 years takes, but yeah, that's what it is. And these guys, too, these football players, some of these guys who played, they sure have a tough time getting around. I've seen some of those guys who play, and they have some, that's what football does to you. They have some injuries that they feel the pains every time they get out of bed.
You know, Willem Dafoe was at that game.
Okay.
The actor Willem Dafoe?
Yeah.
He was at the Ice Bowl.
A lot of people claim they're at the Ice Bowl and have tickets and programs and all that. But I have a program, I put this on Facebook, of the game before the game that got them into the Ice Bowl.
Oh.
The semifinal game was played at County Stadium.
Hmm.
How ironic, huh? You would never think that they would play a playoff game in Milwaukee. But they played a playoff game here. And then they beat the Rams, and that got them up to the Ice Bowl. So we talked a little bit about that game, too.
Beat the Cowboys and won. Yeah. I like history. I don't not like history.
But you look at some of the guys who played on that team. Dandy Don Meredith was the quarterback. He later was on Monday Night Football with Howard Cosell broadcasting it. And he passed away like a couple of years ago, too. But I have yet to see that special. I want to see it.
It's very good. Michael Meredith put it together. It was on NFL Network. Mm-hmm. I had a DVR, so I don't know if you want to watch it, how you can find it, but go try.
I'm going to try. I do want to try, yeah.
Bring a box of Kleenex.
Yeah. So what was sad about it?
Just seeing the guys get back together. Yeah. It was like, I don't know whether it was the music or...
It just was a different time in sports.
It's not that it was sad why I was crying. I was just... It wasn't joy either. It was just like...
See, back then, guys...
I don't know, man. It's a Packer fan thing.
There wasn't free agency, and guys didn't float from team to team so easily like they do today.
It's Chuck and Winkler. We're served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Your last keyword from us this week to try to see Dave Matthews the night before the Super Bowl. We'll have that coming up. And Zaza Pachulia. He and the Golden State Warriors in Milwaukee. Zaza played with a young Giannis. Did he see him becoming the all-star that he is today? We'll talk to him next on The Fan. Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.